Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast.
You literally just shit on his intro, right?
Do you want to just do it yourself, bud?
I just echoed you. Band of Traders podcast.
Oh, I am your host, Kyle. Joining me tonight, we have Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga and Flary, our AI-appointed CEO. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Did AI really appoint me CEO?
Our chatbot did. It signs like every letter that we punch into it. Flary. Yeah. I think the wife used it to write like something for you. Now it assumes that you're the subject of all of our business communications.
I don't get paid. I'll tell you that much. No. Not like a CEO.
It's okay.
Either. Me neither.
Oh, it's okay.
What do you got going on here, dude?
He's wearing his sunglasses at night.
That's my kid. That was my kid's song at our family cabin weekend.
All right, let's try to get this thing back on track here. Shout out to Digital Pete, winner of today's M Period Challenge.
Yo, Digi Pete.
Be looking forward to hanging out with you in the mornings, and maybe you can teach us the secrets of the reversal challenge. As for tonight, Baba Yaga released a great video on YouTube last week, Personal Awareness as a Metric. So that's what we're going to be focusing on tonight. Quick update for show news. Next week, I'm going to be out of town, so the guest episodes are probably going to be on hold for a week or two. I did try to record something with JM and JMac, but we lost the audio from that. There's nothing I could do to save it, unfortunately, so we're going to have to redo that one.
Is that Baba's fault somehow?
No, I'm going to blame it on myself. I was trying to use a new mic, and I was able to kind of work with that, but somehow JMac lost like 60% of his audio, and seeing how he was doing a lot of the talking, that kind of, you know, made it a little less useful.
That's tough.
Yeah, it was too much. I mean, if it was... I didn't even have a transcript off it. Yeah, there's nothing. Like, the cloud backup didn't work. Nothing worked.
Run it back.
Yeah, we'll do it again. It'll be better. But that's probably not going to happen until September. And we also did get some awesome discount codes for the Boston Blockchain Week. So if anybody wants to attend and say hi, then check out the show notes. I'll have links in there. I've been looking over that speaker list, and they got some really awesome topics lined up for that. How about you guys? You got anything you want to promote? Or should we just skip all the hoopla and just jump in?
Skip the hoopla, man.
All right, Rare Barrel, Vanta Trading, check it out, guys. Yeah. Let's get into it.
Shout out to whoever wrote the Cool Tech blog, Mystery Man. I'd like to promote Cool Tech.
What is that?
That's like Gained Lost, whatever.
Oh, cool. That's where all that comes from?
Yeah, there's a mystery blog from like the 90s or some shit.
I never hear any of this.
I have it saved, actually.
Yeah, nobody knows who it is. It's a mystery.
Send me a link to that, Bob.
Some Mystery Man. Created horizontal support resistance systematic trading. I don't know.
Nice.
I'll have to find it, but I have it saved somewhere.
But yeah. I don't promote anything. I just check it out, but I don't promote things. Concat.
Except for Rare Barrel.
Well, I mean, I promote whiskey.
We love whiskey. Yeah. All right. Baba, in the video that you posted last week, there was a lot of like really powerful moments, phrases, things that like kind of resonated with me. And I think some other people probably had a similar experience. So I thought this would be a good video to kind of mine some topics out of. And I think we should start off with that sequence that you kind of described, that descent into uber focus is kind of how I'm calling it. Like when you're starting out calm, you take a couple stops, start leaning forward, you start getting a little too intense on the charts. Like, you want to kind of just talk us through like what that sequence looks like and what's going on there. And then what you do to maintain awareness of that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, first of all, I'd like to say that all of that is not anecdotal, right? That's experiential, meaning, you know, I've lived through that and probably everybody. I mean, and not just me, right? But like a lot of people, a lot of folks we talk to, they don't describe it exactly that way. Maybe not that kind of detail, because
I don't think anyone's thought of it through like that.
People slow it down and really... You know, yeah, I think a lot of people just, well, oh, on to the next. You're like, oh, dang, right, really bad. This is on to the next. Let's forget about that. So, yeah, the whole thing was rooted in, you know, some of the experiences I've had and the experiences that I've been a part of talking through with folks, you know?
Yeah. I mean, when you were describing that, it felt like you were like watching my webcam on some of the days that I've had.
How much is that? Yes.
Right.
So, there were a handful of big ideas there. Oh gosh. Oh boy. I'm trying to hold it together okay?
That's a throwback to the old podcast.
Oh God. Yeah.
Keep your socks on. All right. So there were a couple of, you know, there were like five pieces of the puzzle. And mm-hmm. and there may be more, right? And there may be maybe only three of the five apply to any given person. But those are the, you know, five kind of pillars, for lack of a better analogy, that I would think would be really important to have. And I said stats. It's not like stats, right? It's just that framing it up in the same way that at least I know I do, and I know Flary does, and Kyle, you do, and a lot of other people in the room do. Like, you want to be aware of the stats of a given trade and the expectancy and blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. But when we are thinking about ourselves almost as a trade, you know, like we're the vendor, we're the one doing the interactions, right? So those five those categories, I guess, are super important. So I don't know which direction you want to start in with that, but I'm down to explore or discuss all of it or any of it.
Bro, take me into your cage of emotions 1 through 5. I want to walk through it with you. Because I think this is – so it's an interesting topic because I don't necessarily want to play devil's advocate to it, but I think
– yeah, you do.
I think it's a mature – it's a maturity of trading conversation that – if you and I were to have this conversation 3 years ago, whatever, this conversation would look severely different than it does today. And it will look severely different in 3 years from now. So it's an interesting topic because the emotional pitfalls that we face, I feel like, are different throughout the journey, but they don't necessarily go away. Or at least the goal is to try to minimize them to some extent, or to get somewhat emotionalist in the execution part of things. But yeah, I'd like, let's go through them, because it's interesting to see, like, because it's really just a litmus test of where you're at right now. Unless I watched the video this afternoon, you know, unless you were sort of being like introspective as like the population, but be interesting to see like where you feel like you're at, or there's growth in these things, because some of them I feel like are elementary in a way. Mm-hmm. But like I still relate to them. Like, yeah, I do that, but I do that like in some way. It's like I was thinking about it. It's like, oh, I do that in a mature way. Like I lose money. I lose money now when I'm up and I'm pissed. Like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm still an idiot. Like,
right. So, I think the big piece is like it all relates to your own, and maybe there's a better way to frame, but like your emotional gas tank for a session. Or like the amount of fatigue, and this would be the like mature perspective. There's an amount of fatigue, distraction fatigue, P&L fatigue, decision fatigue. You could, you know, go down the list of the things, right? There's an amount of that will affect your ability to perform. Mm-hmm. That's the point of the entire point of the conversation, even here for tonight, right? That varies, and I think people are sensitive to different ones. You know, so someone who is, you know, having a difficult time, maybe a back against the wall trader, their P&L sensitivity is pretty high. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone who's not in that situation, but maybe their frustration level overstops because of a desire to be perfect. They're sensitive to that. So it's not about the dollar figure, but it's like, man, I've done the work, you know, this is annoying.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's surroundings, you know, what has led into the day. So I think, you know, top down, the first piece of the puzzle, I guess, was your morning, right? Mm-hmm. And so drawing people's attention to what are you bringing to the desk before you ever start clicking a button or doing your homework or prep, right? And we have all, I know all three of us, and I know tons of other folks, have sat down at the desk with an absolute crap storm going on in the background of their life and tried to perform at an extremely high level. Now, if you think of like, to varying degrees, we all have to manage or mitigate the life stuff that we have going on, in any, like in any capacity or whatever, right? Like we have to, you know, no day is perfect, or not every day is going to be perfect, but there's thresholds, right? How much insanity can you have going on? You know, this week was wild for you, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, and I think one of the things that kind of hurts us, especially like people who've spent a good chunk of their working careers at another job or another employer, where like being late to work was not really an acceptable thing at a steel mill. Calling in sick, right, when you have people depending or have to cover your shift is kind of like, if you can make it to work, you go to work. Because otherwise somebody's going to have to cover for you. So having that kind of mentality and taking that into like a trading environment is not necessarily the most beneficial thing. That's kind of one of those habits you have to unlearn, I think.
Can you drink at the steel mill?
What year are we talking about? Well,
I'm just saying, if you log into Globex, like there's markets, they're open 23 hours a day. And if you've had, you know, two, and you sit down at the desk, whatever. I mean, that's the thing, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, the goal is like for people to think about this stuff. Yeah. Because if you sit down and you haven't, and you're not taking into account the fact that maybe the morning was out of whack, or the kids were difficult, or maybe you and your spouse had a disagreement, or maybe there's some other family drama going on that's kind of all of a sudden thing. Yep. And you're going to sit down and not at least regard that situation as possibly something to consider with how you should be mindful in your execution that day.
Yeah.
I would say anything dramatic makes you a little, you should be a little on guard or a little extra sensitive to the possibility of something kind of going awry with your ability to execute in a given day. And so,
like you mentioned, I did have some pop up on, what day was that?
So like early in the week, Tuesday maybe?
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
I think it was Wednesday. Yeah. Our daughter in Arizona had some issues going on, and I had to get my wife to a plane and get her out there to help out. Like, that wasn't even a decision. Like, as soon as she came down and told me she had to go, like, shut down the computers, that was it. No more trading for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I had time. I mean, her flight didn't leave till the afternoon, but am I going to try to trade with that going around? No.
Right. Yeah. So I think, I mean, that one's, you know, I would say that could go, I think people would just could possibly overlook that kind of thing. Also, you mentioned like time, right? Like getting to the desk late. I was late one morning this week with like the start of school, and for one of my kids that started back a little bit later than the others, and like trying to get her dropped off and da da da, and like should have had plenty of time to get back to the desk, but didn't get to the desk till after we were already open. And so I would have a tendency to try to get in where I fit in as quick as possible. You know, I don't want to miss the opportunity to be on the right side of a move that's developing, but you know, I tried to sit down and settle in and just be mindful of the fact that like I am sitting down 30 minutes later than I normally would, and there's work I normally do during that time.
One of the best things I've done when I find myself in that similar scenario, like waking up late, I don't rush. It's like, we're already late, we're not going to be more late, let's take our time, let's make sure we go through the same processes, even if we're starting at a different time, it's okay. Like, let's do the things that are successful. Sorry, Claire, you're about to say something.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say is like, that's probably one of those maturity moments, because I'm sure there was a version. And I mean, like, there's a group of people that you come and, you know, trade with, or that are looking potentially for like, what is your insight on the session to come? And there's that pressure from that. There's the pressure to make money. There's the pressure to be ready, or that you're running behind. And, you know, there's probably a version of Baba, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, that would have rushed to the desk and been like, I still gotta be right today. Like, okay, right. Like, and you're doing like napkin analysis on, you know, complex markets. And, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where in the kitchen, we always joke around, like, there's like, you just say like, I like, I don't know, like, is a fine answer, right?
Thank
like,
you.
Or I could be wrong, and I frequently am, right? Like, sometimes mm-hmm. you just got to raise your hand and be like, guys, I'm running behind today, and you know what? I haven't done my work. Like, here's my napkin, you know. I looked at the order flow, and I feel like we might go up, but, you know, I don't know. I haven't really spent a lot of time looking at the markets today, and I think that, but, like, that's that big aha of, like, the maturity of – I used to come to the desk, be late, and rush into still trying to get my work done before the market opened. And are you really thinking through all of the scenarios and all of the modes of work that you look at and giving them the respect that they deserve? Or are you just rushing through to be the guy who's ready, or the guy who's on mic, or the guy who, you know, like, I mean, is yeah, in a dude. Trade, right? And mm-hmm. I think that's, like, you know, a big piece of that too, of there's levels to this, like, inside of what you're saying is, like, what was okay a year ago is not okay now. Like, and most likely it just becomes, like, you know, there's no pressure to hit the buy or sell button. Nobody's going to force you to do it. Like, you don't have to. Yeah. I mean, in theory, like, eventually you do, but, like, you don't have to be ready by 8:30. If you showed up late, you know, you're an independent contractor for the most part. Like, right. You know, like, you don't have to. Nobody's forcing you for the most part to execute trades. And if you're not ready and you're pretending like you are, that's what it is. You're pretending like you are. And I think there's a small part of us that knows that we aren't.
Mm-hmm.
If not a large part, and we just ignore it.
How many of us say that after a bad day when we rushed?
Like, yeah, I knew it. Right?
I knew this was going to happen. Yeah.
What the fuck was I doing?
Right. Yeah.
Only, I mean, and on the flip side, when you, let's say that the day starts late and it fumbles into a giant mess, and you have you have some work to do in front of you mm-hmm. for a few days to clean that mess up, you can't look at yourself. Can't have a man in the mirror moment and be like, I'm not sure why that really happened. Like, well, you might not be introspective enough to like have that moment. But in reality, you know, like, that is at your own hands, at your own doing. You're responsible.
Yep.
And I think part of the focus or part of the goal of this video was to remind everyone that you are responsible for all of this. And if you're not aware of, like, some of these categories to be thinking inside of, like, that's a leak just as much as having a bad edge, like a trade that actually isn't a good trade to take, or a method that isn't good that you just keep trading. Yeah. It's like, dude, just, you know, like, from my experience, these four or five things were all areas that I had to see. Outside of the skill set of just clicking a button and knowing what's going on, I had to, those things had to improve.
Right.
Because no matter how good my technical edge was as far as the math, it doesn't matter because I am the one that's coming in fumbling the bag.
But the key is that they're building blocks, not like, you know, fumbles. And you need to learn from these mistakes. Because they're going to happen, and they're going to continue to happen in creative ways too, that, like, the market is so fucking smart at finding your weaknesses, personally, right. Or exposing them, or if it's the market, if it's you, whatever you want to call it, the matrix.
I don't, like, know where it found those pictures.
You can find, I mean, like, it's what it is. It's like, and it's this constant evolution of, like, oh, okay, I can't go into that space. Like, or when I'm operating in that space, I'm at this level of my game, and you're constantly finding this sweet spot where you should be operating. And you know, when you're in that sweet spot, because it's relatively easy to kind of, like, feel, unfortunately, like, that's probably another one of these 1 through 5s, is, like, being in that sweet spot for too long. When is the shoe going to fall? Whatever. I'm sure we'll get there, but, it's recognizing I'm late, and it could be as simple as, like, if I'm not at my desk by 7:30, like, I don't have it today. I fought with my wife this morning when she was out on her way out the door. Like, I don't have it today. The kids were driving me nuts when I was driving them to school today. I don't have it today. There's all these things that you learn along the way that, like, potentially, you know, like a small little thing can cost you thousands of dollars, hundreds of dollars, whatever it is.
What do you guys say to the people who argue the other side of that, where you're not always going to be at your best, but you need to be able to function?
Well, you're not going to always be at your best.
Yeah.
And the fact, but it's awareness is just as important.
Mm-hmm.
as not being at your best.
And I think that's what I like about your point, Bob, is that it's not the pursuit of perfection here. It's about awareness of where you are on the elevator.
Back on the spectrum.
Back in my corporate days, we used to call it the good, bad elevator. Like, somebody's having a rough day. Like, where are you at on the elevator? It was like, you're supposed to say. It's like, dude, I'm never fucking asking anybody where they're at on the elevator. But, I mean, but that's kind of it, right? Like, okay, like, where am I at on the elevator today? Like, I'm a fucking 5, dude. Like, I need some help, and I probably shouldn't have a sharp knife in my hand. You know, and for trading, I mean, what does that equate to, right? Yeah. Like, all right, let me take my, like, where am I at on the elevator? Okay, I'm at a 5. Like, okay, let's not be ripping max size, and, you know, let's not try to, like, you know, fight trend or whatever it is, right? Like, let's not take a trade in the first 30 minutes. I don't know, whatever, like, individually is your thing, but there's something that you should be doing or not doing if you're at a 5 versus, like, I'm pumped up. I've been up since 4 a.m. I've had 3 coffees. I've been watching this auction happen. Like, I mean, we've had those days, you know, and again, like that, like when you're in the zone, you're in the zone, but when you're out of it, it's about recognition.
Yeah. Yeah.
To some extent. Yeah.
I think it's recognition. And then, like you said, it's not the pursuit of perfection. So I'm not saying that you got to be 10, you got 5 categories. You got to be checking 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
Yeah.
And then you're good to trade. You just want to know where you are. What are you vulnerable to today?
Yeah.
Are you vulnerable to trying to prove your point with the market because you just spent the last hour trying to prove a point with your wife and it didn't go well? So you're in, like, I got to be right mode. And then you sit down at the desk and you're like, this is going this way right here, no matter what. And if it doesn't, I'll show you. Like, that just is like a, and that, even those kind of thoughts, I mean, they, and we'll get into thoughts in a second, but that's a big one. The awareness of the day. The other one that we talked about is like how you feel about where the market is. I think that's one for me that I have given myself a lot of permission to really be okay with. I've tried to really give myself permission to look at things and go, yep, I don't really want to trade here right now. Like, I don't want to buy here, even if it's like, now if everything lines up, then I'm like, okay, I can trade this. But if we open in certain areas or certain ranges, that, you know, it's okay for you to look at it and go, maybe in a little while, or maybe if someone can prove something to me, but like, I don't really want to jump on this wagon. Like
today, cash session today, this morning. I mean, the sell-off pre-market after they lost the move to the high. Sure, I'll jump on that short. But like, once our cash session opened, I loved the short 620 to 650 area, but I'm not longing up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not after we lost the high in Globex. Like, yeah, okay.
Right.
You know, so I'll wait. And when it took them all day to get to 620, I'm not shorting it.
Yeah, or so, like,
you know, there's not really much to do.
Yeah, we had that, like, and it's the other thing, like, if you're opening in a place where you're like, and then things that you would normally take, trades you would normally, let's say, like, because I took a couple, like, came into the day feeling great, came into the morning short, had shorted, came into RTH on longs, scaled down to a runner, yo-yo, let's go. And then stopped out of the runner. And then I was like, well, we'll give it a minute. We set up in a spot where I felt like longs had the, like, it was a good setup. And then, like, that didn't pan out. And then the next one, I took another stop. And then I was just like, man, these are places where out of 8 out of 10 days, this trade bangs. Like, when this sets up, but like, look at what we're getting. Kyle, you even mentioned that, like,
I didn't the, like way
the way we were moving and stuff like that. And it was just like, well, let's just wait a little bit. And I ended up putting on longs late in the day or late in the morning session. Right as we got off, I was also dealing with a child who is really sweet, but was really like
pushing your
buttons. She knows the drill. Yeah, she knows the drill, and she knows that I can't ignore her when she comes over. But she also comes over, but like comes in here. But she also knows, like, she knows the drill, right? So she was being a little much. So I had that going on. So, but again, I'm aware of all that. So I'm not slinging six or eight contracts in this crap show. I'm going to wait. And then finally got her settled. We had ended stream and I sat down for like just a few minutes before I left and just full awareness of where everything was. And I was like, I feel good about long spec to these highs, to and through these highs. Right. How can I position for that? Okay, I'm going to take this trade in ES. I'm going to take this trade in NQ, posted it in the room so people were aware. Here's what I'm looking at. It's a batch of micros on both. It's not going to make or break my week. I'm scaling them into new highs. It's all set and I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. So if it stops me out, whatever, but like this is it and I'm out. So that because of where we were and how the market was moving, it's totally fine if you find yourself just shoulder shrugging and not really wanting to interact there. And I think everybody, if your analysis is good and your process is good, you give yourself permission to let that inform the desire you have to engage or not engage with the market.
So patience.
I think it's
no one's forcing you to push the button.
I think it's interesting though that you took a different direction on that first impressions of the market. When you first said that, the first thing that popped in my head was the worst days that I have are the days when I come in with expectations that, like, when I have expectations of what the day is going to bring. Like, oh, I'm going to hit two trades early in the morning, be done, and I'm going to, you know, go eat early lunch. Whenever those types of days happen.
See, but that's that maturity. And I mean, obviously, no offense to anybody, but like, that's that maturity piece that I was talking about of like, where you're at in your journey with this, Kyle, mm-hmm. is different.
Yeah.
But like, there's a point where you go, okay, I don't have expectations for the day. I wanted to do this, this, and this, like, to, okay, I'm going to take what the market's going to give me, to, well, the market really doesn't have anything in my playbook in this area. Like, and I think that's what I meant by like the devil's advocate and the maturity piece of this is that for each of these topics that you have, 1 through 5, there's actually microcosms of each along the journey that you go. Yeah. And it's like, it's this evolution of like, dude, I've been there. Mm-hmm. I got this going on at 10. I got a call at 11. I got to pick up my kids at 1. Like, so basically I want to see an opening drive. And it's like, all of a sudden you're like predicting the market based upon your life schedule. Like, you know, and very hard to do.
But that's kind of why I like having discussions like these. Cause I think the thing that I had the most trouble with was not having the language to like define or to ask these types of questions. Like, the more we've done these shows, had these conversations, talked to experts, the more that language is filled out. And now I'm starting to have things that make sense for me. Baba's got his things that make sense for him. You've got your things that make sense for you. But the more we talk about these things with other people, the more we get exposure to the other ideas and other ways that they see that. And there might be something that works for you.
Yeah. And they're not uncommon. That is not for sure. They're absolutely not uncommon. Like, absolutely. Trying to force a day to being patient, mm-hmm. to, you know, like whatever that journey looks like, it's literally not uncommon. What you called it, a mirror moment, you know, I mean, it's,
yeah.
it's
and you it's have what to, it is. I mean, like, you were going, here's the other thing. Even if you use different language to describe what these ideas that I'm talking about, everybody that's going to have a measure of success in this game that endures for a length of time, that has a longevity to it, you are going to have to grapple with these, at least these first two ideas. You are going to have the other three, that's kind of like, you know, that's maybe some personality in there and whatever, but like the first two, like if you don't get those two sorted for you, they will be alpha leaks the whole time. And when I say get them sorted, I mean be aware of them, be cognizant of your personality and how you
internally.
Yeah.
I say it all the time. Like, by the grace of God, there go I. One of my favorite scriptures. Yep. Like, it's literally just awareness of what you're capable of from the outside. Like, it's the ketamine moment, right? Like, I'm watching myself do this stupid ass shit and I'm doing it from 10 feet above me and I still do it. Like, and eventually you go, oh, I see myself about to do some dumb shit. let's just not do the dumb shit. And then you learn new dumb shit, and that's that evolution. But again, like, by the grace of God, there go I. Like, when you start to see yourself coming, okay, I see him going.
He's coming. Here he goes.
It's 7:45, right? Like, I meant to be at the desk at 7:30. Oh shit, the move already happened. Damn, that was the level I wanted to buy. Now they're going without me. Like,
now I'm down. Yeah, this money,
dude. But again, like, by the grace of God, there go I. You get to the desk at 7:45, and you go, damn, the room's all long from that level I wanted to get in at. The market's ripping. I missed the trade. You know what? I'm happy for these guys. That was a good spot. That was a good spot. Let's see if it sets up at the next spot. That's by the grace of God, there go I, because you've lost money chasing it, and then it pulls back. Right? Like, you know, all of the things that happen. Yeah. So you learn to, you know, have that patience to see yourself coming, because you know when you chase, you know when you're late, you know when you're unprepared. You know when you sit down at the desk and you're right at a level and you jump into the trade without looking at the rest of the modes of your work. What happens? Because you've gone through the pain and you understand what the result typically is. And that's the sort of that edge. And again, like, couldn't agree more that you could give somebody the playbook. Show them. Yeah. Let them sit over your shoulder. Let them copy trade it. I don't care. Literally let them. All that will happen is when I enter the trade, you'll enter the trade, but you have to manage it. They'll fuck it up because of the things that we're talking about today. And some of them, you know, as we go through 1 through 5, are just like sheer, you know, seeing yourself coming, being able to manage these things. What kind of day did I have? Where are we at from a market perspective? What are my expectations when we're at this area, even when I'm in this trade that's A+, and all these things that come along with this. That comes back to being able to see yourself coming. Like, where do I typically slip up? And is this one of those moments, or am I truly in the zone? Because that's the other side of by the grace of God, there go I, is like, dude, you're feeling it right now. Like, you're seeing the market well, your modes of work are working, you're in tune with the market. This is an A+ setup. You have confidence, you know, whatever all the pack says, like the 3 C's or whatever he does, you know, like, at maybe size up on this trade. And you know, I think that's, again, that maturity evolution of this. Like, it's funny because it starts as the conversation of like, what do I do when I come to the desk late? And then it ends with, I'm at the desk on time. I'm in the mode. I'm ready to go. Do I just hit this with normal, or do I size in? Like, what do you start to do when you're really feeling it? Like, now I'm on my A+ game. I know what it looks like when I'm on my B game, my C game, my D game. When I recognize that I'm on A+, now what do I do?
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's actually a great video 2.0. Maybe we can do that together.
Yeah.
Which would be highlighting, if we're our awareness of our vulnerabilities, how do we also be as aware of our strengths? Because I know what that is for me, you know?
I agree. I like it.
I don't
it.
Think I spend a whole lot of time
Both
on that.
Both are yet. Huge, dude. Both yeah. are huge.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. I had a kind of an experience today, actually, with what you're talking about. I mean, I had 2 trades, 2 quick losses. I was small size because I didn't really like what we're doing. I didn't really have any conviction in any of it, but I felt frustration building. And I noted that, you know, in my journal, in my notes. And as that frustration built, instead of like giving into it, which I kind of did, but I just flipped over to one of those 450 fresh top step X evals and just said, you know what, let it out on this. Let's not damage anything that we care about.
Yeah. I traded that kind of stuff today.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff that I don't care. I mean, I say don't care. I traded accounts that I care about, but I have less invested and I wasn't trading a cash account, right. You know?
Yeah.
So those are like, before you get to the desk, those apply to everybody. I think for me, a couple of the maybe more specific or more granular things that I have just found is like thoughts that I'm having. Mm-hmm. So this is another one. And then like my posture when I'm trading. I think those two things for me have been areas of awareness that have given me like caution lights before I do something dumb. And I've talked about this like ad nauseum, I feel like, but we can mention it again, you know. But the idea is – very rarely am I like, I don't often get forward in the seat and lean in, you know, all up into it, you know, and be very upright with my posture and like on attention when I'm trading well. Typically, when I'm leaning in that hard, it feels like it's synonymous to me with like forcing something. That's how it feels. Like I'm trying to force something to happen. I'm trying to force a trade to come to fruition. I'm trying to force.
I spent a lot of time thinking about this because it almost feels like you're building to something.
A crescendo of a crap show is what it is.
What it's going to be is it's going to be a spectacular failure. It's almost like you're internally arguing with yourself whether or not you want to blow this account up.
Man, I mean, if I need to lean forward to like see something or something like that, that's fine. But like
when you're sitting there and you're like laser focused.
Yeah. I mean, but if I need to like lean in and take a peek at something because I can't like quite make out, all right, what is the, let me adjust this chart that I can't tell how much delta was on that brick or whatever. But like my sitting at the desk trading should be for me, and that's where I want to say that for me, it should be a pretty relaxed posture. My feet my feet are the big thing. My feet should be forward, and like I should probably only have like one hand in my hoodie pocket and be leaning like I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
This is my I'm about to wreck the market mode, actually. If I am sitting like this, I'm fixing to do something dumb. Yep. Like I'm looking, it's not, none of my trade setups need that level of like, what am I trying to do here? Right? Like when I am in a relaxed posture, what I do, what I feel that I'm allowing to happen and what I see in results is that I'm allowing the market to develop into where.
Buy the ticket, take the ride.
Exactly.
So like you've already made the decision. If anything, you're just monitoring for, is this a bigger opportunity than I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So for people that are listening, what I would say is just, if you've never turned your webcam on and recorded yourself trading, and if you're lucky, you'll have times when you do that and you've traded well, and times when you do that where you've traded, and not that you've lost money, but that you've traded poorly. There's a difference in losing a trade and trading bad, right? And hopefully you catch yourself on some footage trading poorly. And then you get a chance to look at these things. And I have the benefit of, how many thousands of hours I have of me live sitting here, right? I see myself all day long or half the day at least. And so what I began to notice is like, man, when I get like pissed about what's happening and I want to like try to make up for something or push something or get in, you know, I get too forward in the chair and I get too leaned in and I get, and what's funny is like, you don't see that often, fortunately, right? I feel like I'm really, really aware of that. And I keep myself in check because if I can stay relaxed, you know, cool, calm, and collected, that's my MO, right? Like I sit in the desk and I'm like, let's freaking, this is going to be a blast today. Like we're going to trade. We're going to have fun. Like this is going to be good. If I can keep that type of vibe, my potential or like this, the potential or the probabilities that day is going to be an average or above average day, regardless of where the market's trading or how, and it's just true. Like, mm-hmm. It's a very positive and laid back, interested, but not overly concerned type of posture and perspective, right?
But it's posture of like physical nature and posture of emotion, posture of...
They go together. Your body gives it away.
Attentiveness, like... Am I worried about losing? Like, yeah, I mean, it's not just I'm sitting and I'm like, staring at every fucking tick. It's like, could I walk away and go get coffee on this trade and not give a shit? You know, so it's like, it's almost like a posture of confidence in your decision-making process, right?
And physically, what does that look like for you? And what I am saying is for me, it looks this way. For someone else, their posture of confidence and ready to rock and roll may be very different. And maybe like that guy you sent a picture of that looks like a scarecrow with a stick up his back like a robot. It's whatever it is for you, but it's important to know, I think. And it's important to monitor because a lot of times the physical, you'll notice some physical things before you're able to have that that out of body experience of like awareness, like what do you call it, the ketamine moment? Like you're like, you'll see yourself, what the, you know, why can I only see half of my face in the screen, right? Like, oh, I'm fixing to do something dumb, or I'm in the process actively of doing something dumb.
For me, I'm usually not even at the screen. So like if I was having the, you know, the posture moment, my posture would be like, how am I standing in the garage, you know, which is, you know, whatever, 10 feet away from my office, because that's like when I'm doing something that I'm not uncomfortable or not comfortable with, I typically just don't even watch it. Like I bought the ticket. I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah. And I do that too.
Like,
a lot.
I don't even, you know, so like, and I'll like, but it's funny because I'll remote in and I'll be watching it from my phone. Come
on.
But like,
I did remote in today to check on.
I pull up Weeble to look because I want to see. Yeah.
But again, like, that's the evolution is like, I don't do that like anymore. Like, I'll walk away from the desk, but like, I'll walk away from the desk when everything's locked in and I have like a confident trade thesis that I want to play out. And typically, what's funny is because, if you probably took an analysis of some of your worst trades and some of your best trades, I would guarantee that most people's best trades were when they just walked away and let it work.
Mm-hmm.
And most people's worst trades were probably when they walked away and said, fuck it.
Yes.
And, and didn't manage it.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Let's go ahead and say that. There's a big difference between walking away because, like, today was not a walk away and F it for me.
No.
Today was, this is what I think is really probable. And I'm going to play golf. I'm going to put the trade on and go play golf.
But you had stops.
It's
in
not
place.
An effort. I've got stops that are super tight.
Yeah.
I mean, not super tight. Tight in accordance with the work. So it's like I can sit here and watch this. It took a little while, hour or more, for it to get to where it was going, dude. I think I was darn close to being at the golf course by the time I got paid on those trades. Ended up taking an okay day and making it like an average to a reasonable average to maybe a little above average kind of day, but it wasn't a walk away like F it. I'm just putting this trade on, no stop, and whatever happens, happens. Like, that is so foolish. So yeah, being able to distinguish those two is huge. You know, the other thing was thoughts, right? Like while we're, the posture, and then the other category was thoughts. Like, so what are you thinking? For me, Kyle, you could probably tell everyone what they are, but if I say who would be buying here, who in the world would be buying this up here? That is like red flag number one, that I have a perspective or agenda that I have decided is right. And if I am not careful, I will try to force that into being. And so who's buying here? Who would be selling this? Who's trading in this area? This is ridiculous. Oh my God, this market. I also have one that I probably won't say on podcast, but it's pretty expletive laced phrase that comes to mind when I'm just annoyed by what the market just did. Right.
Annoyed.
All of those things, when they cross my mind, I'm so aware of them now that, and I have been for a while, that it is like, you know, want like, whoa, be careful because not because I've done something stupid yet. And it's not causation correlation. Right. But typically, if I think those things, it doesn't mean I'm going to do something stupid. Now, at one point, it meant I already had done something stupid or I was in the process. Now it's just, oh, if I think that, I should be on guard for myself trying to force an issue, right? So I would say people being really keenly aware of what they're thinking about what is going on throughout their trades or throughout the day. Like the thoughts that come into your mind, there's going to be some repetitive ones that precede anything dumb. And that if there's anything we have harped on in all the trader evals, that has been one of the main ones, because I have seen that as a huge thing for me.
I mean, poker is the same way,
right? I mean, tell me that's not true.
I mean, there's pre-flop, there's flop, there's turn, there's river. So there's evolutions to whatever it is. And you start out with what you think is a great hand, right? And potentially the better hand than your opponent. And by the time you get to the river, like, it's painfully obvious you don't have the best hand anymore. But you had expectations of this hand as you went through it. And you go, how could this guy possibly have this? How could he possibly be betting here? How could he possibly check raise me on this turn? And it's just like you find yourself in this marriage to, what do you always say, Baba? Don't hit your wagon to it or something.
Yeah. 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 Well, don't marry a trade. Just
don't marry a trade.
Hit your wagon to it for a little while.
But like, I mean, the thing is that you have to be okay with the new information that's coming in. And that's the poker analogy, is like, you can start with aces, but if the flop comes out 5, 6, 7, all spades, and you got called by the big blind who has a very caution. Wide range, caution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take it easy. And so when there's caution, when the situation is not as favorable as it was when you started your thesis, right? You need to reevaluate. And so in poker, we make different betting decisions or possibly even not betting or folding based upon the board texture, based upon the new information. And that's what a lot of people don't do well in trading. I feel like that's also, you know, and ask me how I know, what a lot of people don't do well is that you want it to be a short, right? Like we're ripping, right? And
yeah.
Everyone is, you know, oh, bears in despair, whatever. We've barely retraced the 3-day rundown in 9 days. But the point is like this, everyone wants this to be the top, this to be the top, this to be the top, this to be the top. And when you fail to take in the new information and realize that we're gaining support and pulling back and testing it and then ripping and then gaining support, pulling back, testing base pop for 9 days, you're not making the best educated decision given the information that you have. And I think that's that, again, like that maturity piece of it is you go from caring about being right or caring about not being wrong to what is the new pertinent information to my modes of work. Mm-hmm. And did anything change for me? Because if nothing changed, nothing changed, and that's okay. Like just take the L. But if something changed, like tonight or last night, where we lost the move to the high at a key structural level, in my opinion, and we start to sell off, something's changed. Something was different. We touched the previous day's RTH VWAP for the first time in 3 days in the overnight session. So it's about analyzing that new information and being actually capable of being critical of your analysis and knowing whether or not it's bias analysis or not, like, because that's what happens, right? Yeah. Like, and the worst part is, like, and again, we trade in groups. When someone else is right and you're wrong, right? Like, and being okay with that too is like, you know, like I won a short today and these motherfuckers are all long and I hate them.
Yeah.
God damn it, Bob is shortening to me again.
Hey, we've had that, you know, and I think I try to mention this, Kyle and I talked about this. Let's say I favor the short side because of a couple of modes of work that I have. And so I will gladly take backside scalps cautiously with reasonable stops and a quicker scale, because if I'm right, I will have another opportunity to add and this trade will go 100 points. If I'm wrong, I take a quicker stop, but I scaled a couple beforehand. Mm-hmm. If I am just dead set on being on the short side, let's just say, and I know that I'm fading what seems to be at the time the dominant rotation strength side of the market, I'll try to say something about that.
Yeah.
Like Kyle and I had a situation similar to that this week or last week where we talked about it, because he was like, oh man, like I forgot that you said you're going to probably be trading backside scalps looking for one of these to actually break down or something like that. I distinctly remember that you mentioned something like that.
Something like that. I think I was long and you were looking to fade and I'd forgotten that you were quicker scalps. And I don't think I got scared out of the position, but I got a little,
no, you stayed in it, but yeah. You just it's mentioned like, oh yeah, I remember you said, you know, or something like that. So yeah, I think that's a huge one. But it all goes again to circle back. It's what are the things that you're thinking, whatever. And I think all of that, right, all the decisions, they have to be informed by something. And what another key point is, they don't need to be informed by these things, like how I don't need right. to not realize that I am being informed by how my day went so far. I'm being informed by not liking where we're trading, so I'm going to force the issue. I'm being informed by my personal frustration that's showing in my posture and is showing in the thoughts in my head. And so those things have now taken the helm of decision making. And instead of what you just mentioned, Flair, which was like my critical thinking, my modes of work, whatever, that should inform the bias and the aggressiveness that I have on a trader, on a trade or a position in intraday, or my perspective on what's unfolding.
The other thing that I really like about what you guys are saying here too is you keep focusing on the awareness of it. I hear a lot of people talk about wanting to control their emotions or wanting to not feel them. And that never felt right to me. I finally found the term that I want, and it's balance. Like, I want to feel balance between the emotional reactions and the rational thoughts that balance that out. Like, oh, I'm feeling like I should be longing here. Okay, let's look at that rationally and see if there's a reason for thinking that. Oh no, that's dumb. Let's not do that. There's a better opportunity if we wait for this. Or that's valid. Well, and
You do such a great job of marking that out on your charts too. I love that.
Yeah, I have to, because otherwise, how else are you going to be able to go back and review, and how else are you going to prove to yourself that you are in touch with any of that stuff? Like,
centered. That's another great word Purdue mentioned. Yeah, definitely. And so, but if we haven't defined the things that throw us off that center or off that balance, then they can sneak up on us, right?
You hear my number one?
What's that?
Acceptance. Can I accept the loss? Can I accept that I'm wrong?
Yeah. We are putting risk on with an idea, and we have to be okay with that. I think having a high standard for the hoops the market should jump through has been one huge thing that I've also talked a lot about. Is that if your work is defined enough that you can have not just a personal desire, but a statistical, you hold the market to that. If this trade is going to pan out, it typically pans out in this fashion. That's work. You got to go do the work for that. But then you have to accept that. Like, you have to accept that work and the opposite of that work. If that is failing, what does it look like? Yeah. I'm expecting this to retrace an entire range and we get hung up at the mid of the range. Well, that's
I should stop trying to long this thing because new information.
Exactly.
Except that this is not going to work today.
See, and that's like that's the devil's advocate of this conversation that, like, I feel like the maturity evolution of this leads to is, like, once you can get a reasonable grasp on most of these things, especially the elementary, like year one, two type conversation and things that are happening here. It really is like, I should just keep trading. Like, if I am being patient, if I am cognizant of what is my, like, what am I doing right now? Am I in a good spot? And this is an A plus setup. To your point, Baba, if you know the expectation of this thing, there is, if you're sitting at your desk and you see an A plus setup and you know what it is and what the expectation of it is and all of the boxes are checked and, you know, by the grace of God, there go I, and you just go, fuck that, I'm not hitting the button.
Honor the work.
That's a problem too.
Honor the work. You've done the work. You've defined all these setups, and then you're going, and now again, in light of the conversation, the awareness of the interpersonal things going on, but if you've done all the work that says pull the trigger here, I promise you the one time you don't, that's the time it's going to go to full expectancy and you're going to be sitting there chasing it and end up taking dumb stops. If you'd taken the trade, when it set up, how it set up, defined by your work, and just being willing to accept the risk, you'd be much better off. That is 100,000% true. I've been there.
Which is an ironic, like, I don't know if you want to call it a level two, level three evolution of it, is like, I should have taken that trade and I didn't, and now I'm upset.
Yeah.
That's like the new, you know, what the new.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then we got to probably think about wrapping it up. The last one was just the point was I rarely, if ever, talk to anyone who, exactly, Purdue. I never or rarely talk to anyone who says, yeah, man, this account, I've been grinding on it for 45 days and finally lost my last stop today. And when you review it, it's been reasonable stop and setup after reasonable stop and setup after reasonable. Well, I say reasonable. If you lost that many, it wasn't too reasonable, but you get the idea. Yeah. This slow bleed is not part of the game for most traders, especially developing or aspiring traders. It's a break. And I think I mentioned it as lighting the fuse. That emotional fuse gets lit, and the dynamite, the explosion, is the account.
Yeah.
And it all happens in one day. Or two, back to back. It rarely happens.
The size of that explosion is, I think, proportional to the intensity of what you're trying to focus in that moment.
And the awareness you have of how out of sorts you actually are. And you can ruin an entire week, 2 weeks, a month, a whole account, whatever, in a very record amount of time. And so my thing is just like, you will have emotional deficiency. Whether it's right or wrong, eventually I think you get to a place where it's a little different, but definitely on the front end of I have lost X number of trades. I am frustrated, pissed, and out of sorts. I either can gather myself, wait for the next trade that fits my profile and take it with reasonable size and reasonable expectation, or I can allow my frustration to spool, not regard any of the aforementioned things we've talked about and continue to put on too much size, trying to prove a point, trying to salve my conscience and frustration and completely blow your account to smithereens in a matter of minutes, right? And that is what I hear more often than I hear, man, I've just been in a slump for 3 months. I was in a slump for 3 months.
Right.
Like it's just not, I don't talk to enough traders. I don't think at least I haven't that say, yeah, man, it's just been a rough stretch. You know, I'm still out here grinding. You talk to people the day after they just blow it all to kingdom come.
That's it's risk, right? Like it's just poor risk management.
It's poor risk management, but it also doesn't, it isn't like they've decided, okay, I'm going to trade. I was trading. This is what happens. I was trading 6 micros and I lost 5 trades. Now I'm going to trade 6 minis because if I'm right on one trade, it cleans up the whole mess. Yep. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Right, but again, it's risk management. The latter version, the like slow grind down to the right, which is not what you want to do. That's just not having edge. Like if you're consistently taking the same trade that sucks, like you're down to the right. And, you know, I mean, honestly, like to some extent, would you rather do that and just know you're wrong? But
I remember one point, Flary, when you were talking about stats and it was during the Back to the Futures episodes that we did when we were talking about like being able to follow a process. And I remember Joel and I, like we spent a lot of time trying to follow bad processes that we knew were flawed, but you know, it's what we had at the time. So, but the idea was if we can follow a bad process, then we'll be really good if we ever find one that has edge.
Yeah. If you can consistently follow down to the right, you can consistently follow up to the right.
Yeah. Just start fading it.
Yeah. There you go.
But I think like to your point, Baba, like we do these things, whether it's decision fatigue, whether it's P&L fatigue, whether it's just versions of tilt, because I thought a lot about this too, again, like this evolution piece of like, originally it's like, I'm stuck, I'm on tilt, or I lost a trade, I'm on tilt. So I do things when you're on tilt, again, another poker term, like when you're on tilt, you're doing things that are outside of your normal character. So you just throw everything out of the, you know, out of the fucking room and you're just like a full bore buy, sell, whatever, no thought to it, whatever. But there's also different versions of that. And I think like,
yeah, there is
one of the things that I experience personally. So like there's being stuck, right? Being stuck sucks and you want to make your money back, right? The market owes me, this trade was supposed to work, blah, blah, blah. All the like fucking, again, like year one, year two things you experience. But then there becomes like the like too rich to care. We call these guys in the tournaments, they're too rich to care. They just call off. Like I'm all in and they call off because I'm too rich to care.
It's like a millionaire sitting in like a 1-2 limit poker game. Like you're never going to bluff him out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, like I'm up. So there's upstuck, right? Yeah. So upstuck is I was up 2,000 on the day. Now I'm only up 1,000. And I deserve that 1,000 back and I'm going to make a bunch of irrational decisions because I have a $1,000 cushion and I want that $1,000 back. But then there's also like, I'm up a bunch and I deserve to be able to just YOLO today.
Yeah. Better ride.
That's like, it's funny because I feel like that's my big weakness right now. I call it the bone thug theory because it's the first of the month, dude. The first of the month is the fucking worst for me. I'll have my best month ever, second best month ever. And the first of the month, dude, Bone Thugs and Harmony are down in Cleveland waiting for my fucking money. Market makers. Just, it's the first of the month. Flary's about to fuck up. Like, they're just taking my money because I give it all back because it's like, oh, I've earned the right to be a complete asshole today.
It's like, and you're playing with house money, the mentality.
Yeah, yeah. You know, whatever you want to call it. For me, it always seems to happen after a good month, like relatively early on in the month. And then I have to go like, dude, well, that was dumb. Like, well, there goes your like good month. That was an average month and you're in the hole this month and, you know, good luck. By the grace of God, there go I. What stage of this thing are you in? And this is a major pitfall. If there's stages to the pitfall, it's a pitfall you should pay attention to, right? So the five things that Bob has called out here, we've all had different levels of this that we've experienced or personally experienced or are in currently. And I think it just goes to show that, like, I mean, I don't know what a $1 million trader is going through, like when he has a $5 million trade the next day. I don't know. I'll tell you one day I'll find out, and I'm sure it'll be a fun podcast, but like, I don't know, but I'm sure there's something, right? Did he wish he didn't buy a Ferrari the next day? And that's a first world problem. I hope so. But today, you know, it's the first of the month sucks for me. A year ago, it was, you know, when I was up 2K and now I'm only up 1K. I get upstuck and I get frustrated. 2 years ago, it was like, and still like even today, it's like, you know, to some extent, I'm down five trades in a row. And that's just, it's not like it's statistically anomalous. Like it shouldn't happen, you know, and there's these like progresses to this thing that are, it's part of it, right? So just accept it. I think, and that's, Baba, to your point, like it's not fighting any of these things. It's accepting that they're realities. Yes. And learning to deal with them at the level that you're at the place that you're at, and just moving forward and being okay with it, right? Like, I'm okay with the fact that, like, on the first of the month, I like to give back my previous month. I'm okay with the fact that I don't like it when the market's in a place where I don't have an A-plus setup, and I have to watch people take trades to areas that I want to trade from. It's this thing that you just kind of have to work through, and it's a work in progress, right? Progress, not perfection. But all of this is to say that these things are real and that there's levels to each one of them, and that the more you can recognize that all of these things are fighting against, I could give you the trade on a silver platter, and if you have any of these five things staring you in the face throughout the day, I just made a killing and you lost your ass.
Yep.
Or you saw it to fruition and it'd be a great day and someone else barely squeaked by.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The one thing I'd like to say about the P&L stuff that I think is outside of the emotional side, I think it was last Tuesday or last Thursday, I just knew it wasn't about like being frustrated or pissed or whatever. It was just statistically, I know if my equity curve gets to a certain point on the day, that like statistically, I don't come back from that day.
I love the phrase you use too, the fading. Do I really want to fade my P&L curve at this point?
On the days that are average to above average, is this how it usually goes? Like, ask yourself that question. If it's not, then you're probably on the front end of a day that's going to be a giant crap show. Also, everyone should know, like, look at your P&L, dude. What's your great days? What's your average days? And then on your days that end up being barely green or barely above average, what was the intraday drawdown? On your days that are really bad, how bad does it get? Figure out statistically where you, without trying or doing anything special, where can you still recover from reasonably? Yeah. And just have that as a place in your mind. I had two stops left. And I was going to be at that number on that Thursday. I ended up trading back about half of that drawdown by the close, responsibly and carefully and mindfully. We talked about it in chat. I posted about it in the room. Like, I was very open about all of that. But I think that is a huge statistic that you need to know.
Yeah. Yep. Man, that could be a whole nother episode, actually. But yeah, we're getting really to the could. End here. So are there any final thoughts you guys want to say before wrapping up here?
Suck it up, Buttercup. Trade better.
Yeah. I would say, like, I would say for me, like, this doesn't come from theory land. This comes from personal, my own experience.
Ask me how I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask me how I know. Right. And then the, I would say, you know, in the hundreds of traders that we've talked to and tried to help through this. And what's funny is I do feel like the one thing I can be proud of in our room and in my trading through all of it, through Q1 of this year, that was tough for me, and through, you know, April or whatever it was that was really good, and how, things lately, is that I can say to the people in the room, watch what I do. I can say that, and it's not like what you've seen me do. That is what you should be doing. When you get close to that P&L number, this is how you respond to it. When you're trading bad, this is how you respond to it. When you come in late, for the most part, this is how you navigate that. When things are hectic, when you've had a really good day, when you've already exceeded your P&L goal, quote unquote. I know we don't have targets, but you know, some of us have to like pay bills. So we do. so like when you come into the day and you've already exceeded that, there's no pressure to keep. If it's not perfect, then leave it alone. Like all of those things y'all have seen me do. Now I'm not perfect. I'm not making billions of dollars. I'm just saying I love the fact that for the most part, with a clear conscience, I can say, do what you've seen me do. And that's the goal of our room. The goal of this video is to draw awareness to that. The goal of our room is that we will be modeling the things that will help a trader go from where they are to probably or most likely where they want to be. And the uptake on that and how long that takes and all that really rests on them. There's people in our room and guys that we trade with who reach out all the time, talk all the time to us, not just me. I'm not magical banks. You, other folks in the room, conversations that, you know, we're not even a part of, but they're taking the information in. They're trying to move forward. They're working on themselves. There's other people that kind of lurk, float in the background, never reach out, never talk about their trades, whatever.
Like, something's got to change.
If you're not doing anything, nothing's going to change. Exactly. And so that's the piece of it. It's like, be aware of this stuff because it's stuff that I think is important and I'm aware of it. And yeah, there's a whole other side to all of it, like Flary's talked about. And I think there's a round two video that needs to be done that is the exact opposite. What's the greatness, right? What's the flow state? What's the master trader mindset? Whatever words you want to use, how do I define that? And what are the things I notice? Like, well, I'm really killing it right now. And I'm going to lean in and not lean in posture, but like, I'm going to keep riding this train, right?
I can't wait for that one. You're going to let me know when that goes out. We'll do another special like this on that. But
because hoodies are the best thing a man can wear, bro. That's why.
All right. I think that's going to do it for today's episode. Say thank you to
Trinday every day. Sorry.
Thank you, Flary. Thank you, Baba, for joining in tonight. Thank you, everyone who listened, for sticking around to the end here. Remember, you can show our panelists some love. Click on those links in the show notes. Visit Vonta Trading to catch 30-point ES runners with Baba Yaga every morning. Band of Traders podcast, where you can browse our huge catalog by guest. Don't forget about our friends at Rare Barrel on YouTube. Be back soon with another exciting episode. Hopefully scores more points than a breaking roux. But until then, say fuck you to your good posture and have a great week.
Wow.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.